Like you to open up to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's let the children go out for their children's church if they would like to. And if you have a Bible, open up to Ephesians 4. If you do not have a Bible, let us know and one will be provided for you. We want everyone to have a copy of the Word of God. Today being the first Sunday of the new year, God has sustained and blessed our church over this last year, and I have no doubt that He will again this coming year. God has been so faithful to our church these last 30 years and continues to be so. And so we look forward to seeing what God is going to do in this coming new year. One of the joys of this new year is to see all of the building that is going on in Coffey Park. It was such a joy to celebrate Dave and Lisa Israel moving into their new home, and they invited us to come over for Christmas Day, and we celebrated with many of their family members. And soon we'll celebrate with Tom and Jerry. They're moving into their new home. It's just weeks away. And so we are very happy to see our friends and neighbors moving back into their homes. Now, there's still a lot more building that needs to take place in our community. And I also believe there's a lot more building that needs to take place in our church. And I'm not talking about the building. The building is not the church. We are the church. Amen? And there is some work that is left to be done in this building, which is the church. And that's the focus of my message today. The reality is that the building up of the church, which you and I are called to, it will not be completed until Jesus returns. I was going to say it will not be completed this year, but you never know, right? We don't know when Jesus is going to return, but it will not be completed until He returns. Until then, you and I must continue the work of building up the church. Amen? So that's really the focus of this message. To acknowledge that there is work yet to be done and that you and I are called to do this work. Every one of you who are members of this church are called to do the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. And so I just want to put this main idea up front. And that is this, that we are each called by God to build up one another. And in so doing, build up the body of Christ, His church. This is the work that we have been called to by our Lord. This is the work that He has saved us to do. This is the work that glorifies Him on this earth. And this is the work that we need to commit ourselves to. Building up one another. And in so doing, building up His church on the earth to His glory. The Apostle Paul begins chapter 4 by reminding us that it is God Himself who calls us to this work of ministry. Look with me at Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 7. Let me read that. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, Paul is writing this from prison, that's why he says a prisoner of the Lord, I, therefore, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. It's very interesting that Paul emphasizes our calling by God in verses 1 and 4. Not only does he mention our calling twice, but he mentions our calling twice in each of these verses. Look back with me at verse 1. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. The calling to which you've been called. He mentions it twice for emphasis. And then in verse 4, you were called to the one hope that belongs to your calling. God himself individually chose us to be in Christ. God himself chose us to be adopted into the family of God, to be included in the redemption that was provided by Jesus, his Son. And he did so for his own glory. How do I know this? Because Paul started off this letter by stating that very thing. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Let me just remind you of the way that Paul begins this letter and the great gift that you and I have been given. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Let me help you with those pronouns there. Even as God the Father chose us in the Son before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Note this. Before the world was formed, before a single human being existed, God had already chosen us and predestined us to adoption through Jesus Christ. And he did so according to his purpose, his will. It almost sounds like he's in control, doesn't it? Like he's sovereign? Like his will is going to be done? Indeed. And all of that he did for his own glory. Verse 7, in him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. You know why it had to be lavished upon us? Because we had a lot of sin that needed to be forgiven. Amen? The riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven, things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Wow. In eternity past, God chose us for salvation. God chose us to be the recipients of his grace, His mercy, His love, to receive forgiveness through Christ, to live, to serve His will, to accomplish His purposes, and all of that for His glory. What an amazing gift we've been given. And how amazing it is that God uses the Apostle Paul to remind us of who we are in Christ. Who we are. We are members of the body of Christ. Members one of another. So we were created by God and born again through faith in Christ to the end that we should live to the praise of His glory. Amen? God chose us for salvation. God adopted us into His family, which is the church, so that we could live our lives to glorify Him through the calling that He has placed on our lives. Make no mistake. You have been called by God for the purpose of ministry. We are not saved because of our obedience, thank God. We obey and we strive to fulfill our calling because of the love and grace and mercy and forgiveness that we have already received. We love Him because He first loved us. We now strive to please and glorify our Lord and Savior out of love and gratitude for what He has accomplished on our behalf. We strive to obey and glorify Him in response to what He has already done for us. And so here at the beginning of Ephesians 4, Paul tells us to live our lives now, to live in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. That calling, he will go on to tell us in our text, is to do the work of ministry. To do the work of building up one another and thereby build up the church. God not only calls us to this work, but Paul goes on to tell us, God equips us for this work. According to Paul, God equips all who He calls. He gives us His word, His revelation to us. He gives us His power through the indwelling of His Spirit. And He gives us pastors and teachers to train us and equip us to do the work of the ministry. I want to look briefly at each one of these ways that God equips us. First, He equips us by giving us His word, His revelation. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Where Paul addresses this. Paul writes this, "For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Note this. Spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. They must be revealed by God. We call that special revelation. All of mankind knows there's a God. According to God's word, according to God Himself, He says they're all accountable for what they can see. In creation, they can see that there's a God. There is a creator. in their own hearts and minds and conscience, they know there's a God. They know there's a standard of law, of righteousness, a lawgiver. But they do not know what we know. They don't know Him. They don't have a personal relationship with Him. Because that can't occur simply through nature. It occurs through special revelation. God opening our eyes to see. God giving us a heart to believe. God revealing Himself to us. He had done that for the Apostle Paul. And He was using Paul and the other apostles to write His word and give that revelation to us as well. What a gift. What a gift. And He gives to us pastors and teachers to train and equip us in that word. Listen to what 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. The work that you and I have been called to, the work of ministry, is the work of ministry of the Word. We must be equipped to handle accurately the Word of truth, because it is the Word that we are called to minister one to another. And God has equipped us. He has called us to live a new life through Christ, and that new life includes the work of ministry, and we are equipped for that work by the Word of God. So, obviously, the more time we spend in the Word, the more time we spend studying the Word, hiding the Word in our hearts, the more equipped we will be. Amen? But no one in this room, no one in this community, no one in this country can say, I have no way to be equipped in the Word of God. I don't want to ask, but I must have 20 Bibles, either in my office or in my home. Okay? Probably 10 different translations. Okay? So, we have no excuse, do we? Okay. So, God equips us by giving us His Word. He also equips us by giving us His Spirit. Paul goes on in chapter 3. Look at verses 14 through 19. He says this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being." Note this. Paul is praying for the church. By extension, praying for us. That we would be strengthened with God's power through God's Spirit. Not in our bodies. Note this. But in our inner being. The redeemed person. God wants us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not strong like, you know, Hercules or... Wow. I better stay behind the pulpit. Or, you know, the Incredible Hulk, right? Not that kind of strength. But spiritual strength. Spiritual power. That is provided for us by the Holy Spirit. God gives to us divine power through the indwelling presence of His Spirit. And His Spirit strengthens us in the innermost part of our being so that we can live in a manner worthy of the calling with which we've been called. We can. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do the work of ministry that God has called us to. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live lives that result in the praise of His glory. Amen? In his letter to the Philippians, Paul writes this in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." It is God, the Holy Spirit, who works within each believer to cause us to both will and do that which pleases Him. Now, granted, we don't always do what pleases Him. But we cannot use the Flip Wilson excuse, "The devil made me do it." No, he didn't. Because greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? You now have the power to choose. You do. Christ has broken the chains of sin, the bondage of sin. We have the power to choose. Choose wisely. And we have the power to accomplish the work that God has called us to do through the Holy Spirit who indwells us. So God equips us to do the work that He's called us to do. He gives us His Word. He gives us His Spirit. And He gives us coaches, pastors and teachers, spiritual coaches. Look at Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. "And He," that is Christ, "He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." God has chosen to accomplish His work on this earth through human beings who have been equipped by Him to do His will. Isn't that amazing? He has chosen to work out His divine plan of redemption through us, who were chosen by Him and who have been equipped by Him to do His will. And His will includes gifting certain individuals with the ability to be spiritual leaders, to be teachers, mentors, to be spiritual coaches. In the local church, that role is filled by pastors and teachers, elders, shepherds. Just like in a professional football team, there are players and there are coaches. And the players are able to accomplish what they accomplish because of the coaches. Am I right about that, John? How important are coaches? Very. Good answer. The coaches train, teach, equip, and motivate. But they are not the players. The coaches do not go onto the field. They do not play the game. That's the role of the players. In God's economy, the shepherds are the coaches. And the individual members of the body of Christ are the players. To you is given the work of the ministry. You're called to be ministers. Ministers of the Word of God. And Paul tells us how long that work of ministry is to continue. In verse 13, he says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, until we're all perfected and exactly conformed to Christ. That's how long the work of the ministry is to continue. Until that is achieved. So we have a little work left to do, don't we? We have a wonderful church here. But we have not yet attained this lofty goal. Nor shall we. Until Christ returns. Therefore, the work of the ministry needs to continue. There is more building up that is needed. There is more work that God has called you and I to do. And again, He has chosen to accomplish this work through us. There is no other means. It is through you and I. And so that brings us to my final point, and that is that God uses us as His instruments to build up His church. Look with me again at verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each or every part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Isn't that interesting? God is speaking to us through the Apostle Paul and is revealing to us how it is that Christ builds His church. Now, make no mistake, it's His church. And Christ says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But Paul here is telling us how Christ will build His church. And it is through the members of the church. It is through the work of each individual part, each individual member. God uses us to build His church. Again, verse 16. When each part, that's you and me, is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. God chose us to be in Christ before the foundation of the world. God caused us to be born again and gave to us the gift of saving faith in His Son. God brought us to this church. This local expression of His body, and He has called us and equipped us to do the work of the ministry here, building up one another, and thereby building up His church. This is God's divine plan for each and every one of us. It is no coincidence that I am here. That was God's divine plan from eternity past. It is no coincidence that you are here. God has brought us together to do the work that He has called us to do. And this can only be accomplished when each part is working properly. I'm not sure what Clinton's injuries are. The knee is a very complex mechanism. But I know that a simple tear of a ligament or a muscle, or even just the dislocation of a ligament, can cause intense pain in the knee. I know because I've experienced it. Many years ago, I dislocated my kneecap. The worst pain I've ever suffered in my life. That's quite the story. I'll have to tell it to you some other time. Don't ride in the back of a pickup truck with a dislocated kneecap on the way to the hospital. Especially if my wife is driving. And she's got adrenaline pumping. And there's nothing to hold on to in the back of the pickup. Oh, my God. When one little part of our body isn't working correctly, it affects all of us, doesn't it? All of our body. The same is true in the church. If you are not involved in the building up of the church, then you are affecting the building up of the church. That's what Paul is saying here. This can only be accomplished when each part is working, when each part is contributing. We each must do our part to fulfill the goal that God has placed before us. Each of us should be involved in the work of ministry in order for the church to be all that God intends it to be. Now, this runs against the grain of our culture and our time. Our culture emphasizes personal autonomy and self-centeredness. As important as it is for each one of us to have a personal relationship with Jesus, biblical Christianity never teaches that we should focus on that apart from the body of Christ. We must indeed have a personal relationship with Jesus to be members of the body of Christ. But that's what the personal relationship with Jesus causes us to become. Members of one another. He has placed us in the body, in the church, and we are called to minister one to another. We are called to build up one another through the work of the ministry. So, what is the work of the ministry? I'm glad you asked that question. Paul tells us, the work of the ministry is the work of speaking the truth in love. Verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. That's the work of the ministry. That's the work that you and I have been called to do. It is by speaking the truth in love that we build up one another. It is by speaking the truth in love to one another that we build up the church. This is the work of spiritual edification, of spiritual building up. The Apostle Paul repeats this calling over and over and over again in his letters to the church. I'm going to mention three references, but there are more. I just didn't want to bring out everything this morning. I got to save something in reserve. Over and over again, Paul calls us to the work of edification, which means building up. Listen to what he says. Romans 14, 19. He says, so then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding or edification, depending on your translation. Let us pursue that. 1 Corinthians 14, 12. Strive to excel in building up the church. And 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. In every one of these references, and several more, Paul is encouraging you and I as individual members of the church to be involved in building up one another. God uses us, each one of us, to accomplish His divine plan for the church. In God's divine wisdom, He has chosen each one of us to be involved in this mutually beneficial work of the ministry, the work of building up one another by speaking the truth in love to one another. What truth are we to speak? I'm glad you asked that question. Another good question. What truth are we to speak? There was just a meeting in the White House a couple of days ago, and the leader of the House of Representatives had a discussion with the leader of Homeland Security. And the leader of Homeland Security brought the facts and figures regarding our border and those who are crossing the border, and presented those facts and figures as a part of the working group. And the leader of the House of Representatives said, "I reject your facts." That's a quote. "I reject your facts." And the director of Homeland Security said, "These aren't my facts. These are the facts." We are not to speak our truth. We're to speak the truth. And there's only one place to find the truth, and that is the Word of God. The truth of God's Word, that is the truth that we are to speak. The work of the ministry is the work of sharing God's Word with one another in love. There is a difference between serving in the church and ministry in the church. Many of you serve in various capacities in the church, and I bless you for that. And God blesses you for that. And we need people serving in the church. Amen? But when we speak of ministry, ministry always involves the Word of God. And we are called to do both. To serve, but to also be ministers of the Word. To speak the truth of God's Word in love to one another. Note this. Both serving and ministry require us to spend time together with one another. I cannot fulfill the ministry that I am called to without intentionally gathering together with others in the church. These gatherings together will take on different forms, such as home fellowship groups. That's a great form of gathering together where we can accomplish what we've been called to. It may take the form of Bible studies, of discipleship, of prayer meetings, or simply spending time with other believers in your home or in their home. But simply being in the same room with others is not doing the work of the ministry. The work of ministry to which each of us is called is the work of speaking God's truth in love to one another. So it's not just hanging out, but it's being intentional in hanging out with the thought, with the purpose of sharing the Word of God with one another. I believe that in this coming new year, each one of us should be praying for such opportunities. Just as I hope you pray for opportunities to share the gospel with unbelievers, I hope that you will begin praying for opportunities to share the Word of God with your brothers and sisters, with others in the church. Because God has called us to do this. And as we pray for opportunities, guess what? We recognize those opportunities. I think they're happening already. I think God is giving us opportunities. But when we're praying for the opportunities, we'll see them. We'll recognize them. So each one of us should be praying for such opportunities. Second, each one of us should be preparing for such opportunities. How do we prepare to speak God's word in love? By spending time in God's word, of course. And that means being involved in every way we can in being instructed in the word of God. That's worship services, that's home fellowship groups, that's Bible studies, men's study, women's study, whatever means God has made available to us, we should avail ourselves of. Amen? So that we can be further equipped. I believe you are already equipped enough to speak the truth in love to one another, but we can be further equipped and be more effective in doing it. So each one of us should be praying for opportunities. Each one of us should be preparing for opportunities. And then each one of us should be seeking those opportunities. In other words, intentionally spending time together with others in the church for the purpose of speaking into their life and them speaking into ours. Because that's the work that God has called us to. My prayer for our church in this new year is that each and every one of our members will do these three things. Pray, prepare, and seek out opportunities to do the work of the ministry. To speak God's truth in love to one another. And I believe that as we do, we will see our church grow spiritually. Becoming more and more like Christ himself. And I believe that we will be blessed to be used by God in this holy work that he has called us to. So let's go back to the main idea. We are each called by God to build up one another, and in so doing, build up the body of Christ, his church. I pray that you will join me in making this happen here at Christian Family Fellowship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be reminded of what you have done in saving us, in providing a ransom for us, that your Son came and paid the penalty for our sins, the sins of each and every one chosen by you to be included in your Son. And not only did you send your Son, but after your Son ascended back into heaven, together you sent your Spirit to cause us to be born again, to indwell us and equip us so that we might now do the work of ministry. And you have provided your word to us, your word in abundance. And you have provided for us pastors and teachers. You have equipped us so that we can do the work that you've called us to. I pray, Lord, that as we move into this new year, that each and every one of us will be involved in doing this work. That we will be praying for opportunities, preparing for opportunities, and seeking those opportunities to speak the truth in love and to allow others to speak the truth in love to us. And we thank you, Father God, for using us in this way. We pray for your blessings upon this local expression of the body of Christ. May we continue to grow in grace and knowledge and be further conformed into the image of your Son. And for that, we will give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.